The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to your Saturday mailbag. If you're watching on YouTube, happy Friday afternoon to everybody. It is afternoon. It is 12:20 p.m. I can confirm that is afternoon. No disputes here. Today, our favorite segment is back. The fantasy cops are coming. I
love fantasy cops. Yeah. Adam didn't even tell me we were going to get a little fantasy cops going today.
Yeah, baby. It's fantasy cops. It's in the thumbnail and everything. We got so many in the inbox. I have 4 in the show, so I'm not able to answer everybody's fantasy cop questions. But if you're new to the show, Fantasy Cops is you have a league dispute, send an email to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and put Fantasy Cops in the subject line, and we will regulate it on the air.
Can I ask you a favor for this Fantasy Cops, Adam?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of variations of fantasy cops. I've been a part of some of them. But no matter who the pairing is, or if it's 3 people on fantasy cops, you're always playing good cop. For once, you got to play bad cop.
Me?
With these leagues, Adam. Yes.
Oh, you think I'm always playing good cop?
You're always playing good cop. You're like, oh, that's okay. It's okay to do a trade like that.
That's how, I'll give you a real life example. We're in a fantasy baseball league together, right?
Yep.
So I get a text from someone. This is so funny. I crack up, man. He says, this was at 7:48 p.m. on Monday. The games started at 6 o'clock p.m.
Right.
Said, dude, I took DeGrom off my IL, but he went to my bench instead of my starters. Any help or nah? And it was such a nicely worded text that it seemed like he'd be fine with either scenario, right?
Right.
And I thought about it, and I said, like, if someone texted me at 1:48 p.m. Eastern on a football Sunday, there's no way I'm letting you change your lineup.
Yep.
So I said, sorry.
DeGrom's start had already started at that point.
DeGrom's game had started. He started on Tuesday.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he hadn't started yet. I said, I'm sorry, man. I can't do it.
This is Monday. Yeah.
He goes, Jesus. And I said, got to set your lineup. What can I say? I mean, wasted a first round pick on a guy that won't play because you made us draft weeks before the season. But yeah, cool.
Wow, that went from 0 to 6.
I know.
Like, that was a nicely worded text. I like this guy, and now he's just coming at you.
And then it went on. It went on and on and on. And I just like
wait. This went on further than that,
dude. Like, look at this.
This is not that serious.
I know, man. And. And he blamed me for having the draft too early. And I was like, oh, yeah, who could have seen a Jacob DeGrom injury coming? You know?
Well, let's not go there. We're not going to turn this into a Mets bashing podcast. We don't need any of that.
All right, we're going to turn this into Fantasy Cops,
yes.
Mailbag, and some news. A lot of news, including Bucks wide receivers. All right, let's talk about a few players that you're high on and or are drafting a lot. I asked you for 3 players that we've done a lot of drafts, most of them mocks, but that you find yourself drafting a lot or that you're just high on. Who do you got?
This is a fun question. I leaned into that I'm drafting a lot, so I looked back at all of the drafts we've done. We do, just a good heads up for those of you who are listening but may not follow along on the website, we have mocks every single week, and now we're up to 2 mocks a week. And with every mock draft we do, Jamie Eisenberg writes up a mock draft recap, and then I turn that into a mock draft survey. So you're getting insight from everyone in the draft, and you're also getting a recap of the draft. But looking back through these, I found, Adam, that I end up with Tom Brady a lot in these mock drafts. It's just, he continues to fall, sometimes even into that round 9, round 10 range. And I just can't help myself drafting a guy who crushed the league when it came to first downs against the blitz last year. You can't blitz the guy. He throws downfield at a ridiculous rate. Now he has Julio Jones in the mix, who looks pretty damn healthy to me. So Godwin, practicing today, we'll get to that a little bit later. He's looking pretty good for where he's supposed to be at. So I find myself drafting a lot of Tom Brady, Adam, at running back. And this one's going to change. I know it after Sean McVay's recent comments, but I was crushing the Darrell Henderson pick. I mean, he was falling and falling and falling. Nobody wanted anything to do with him, which I think has something to do with his injury history potentially, but he's been a pretty explosive and pretty effective back when on the field. I don't think his injury profile is too much worse than, say, Cam Akers, for example.
Yeah.
So I found myself drafting a lot of him.
And then, just in case anyone missed
go ahead.
Sean McVay, he said that he kind of felt like they had two number one running backs. So that's why Dan's thinking he won't be able to get as much Darrell Henderson because his ADP is going to rise. Go ahead.
Yep, you nailed it. And then finally, again, a similar player from a similar team. It's Allen Robinson. This one's going to change, I think, because the camp stuff is just crushing me, crushing my soul when it comes to getting this guy at value, because he's just making highlight play after highlight play. But Allen Robinson, I just always end up with him. I feel like this year, Adam, I don't know if you felt like this in all doing all the drafts, receiver thins out way earlier than I ever remember it thinning out. We get to that maybe back, if you're in the back end of the fourth round, I would say, or even honestly, the back end of the third round, in that third, fourth round range, the entire range. I find myself looking at the board and I don't want to reach at running back because that's not how I design my teams. And I need a receiver in that range. And it's looking at guys like Robinson. Maybe you get a chance at a Courtland Sutton, maybe a Jerry Jeudy, but it really does start to get to that point where you got to pick the guy you like and the guy you believe in. For me, that's Allen Robinson.
I do sort of agree with you, except there are a few players that I think I'm just going to check their ADP now. I'm picking a date, July 20th. So I'm looking at a little bit more than 2 weeks on NFC, yeah, which is 113 drafts. And where are these guys going? Can you get them in round three? So Michael Pittman is 27th. So he's early round three in a 12-team league. T. Higgins and A.J. Brown are 28th and 30th. DJ Moore is 35th. So there's one right there. If I'm late in round three and I can get DJ Moore, I feel great about it because I do expect Baker Mayfield to start. The other guy is Sutton. And I don't know where he's going to end up. As of from these 113 drafts on NFC starting July 20th to August 5th, Courtland Sutton is 44th overall. If I make it, let's say August 3rd, let's just see how many drafts we've had in the last couple of days. 15 drafts. Courtland Sutton is now 39th.
Yeah, he's moving up.
And he's one of the guys that I was going to say that I draft a lot. That was before the Tim Patrick injury, but now I am even further emboldened.
Right.
I think he's justifiable late in round three because it is, you just have to take your guy. I'm not quite on Allen Robinson that early, but the training camp reports have been very encouraging. However, the Matthew Stafford situation,
a little nerve wracking. Considering my Rams exposure everywhere, I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, I think rounds 4 through 6, I say it all the time, that ends up being a good range for wide receivers. Some of these guys are going to really impress, really jump out. Brandon Cooks is going 50th.
Yep.
Allen Robinson, 44th. Darnell Mooney, 53rd. Rashad Bateman, 59th. This is all NFC. Chris Godwin is 60th. We'll see where he ends up. Michael Thomas is 68th. There'll be some values, but I don't know if I agree that receiver thins out more than usual. I really feel like every year in a 12-team league, there are about 30 picks that I love. And once I get to the second half of round three, I feel like every pick is risky. And that not changed this year.
I think you're probably right on that. I get the feeling that in these past drafts in that exact range, even like look at last year, for example, I had guys I love, like Cooper Kupp and Deontay Johnson were just circled on my list. And almost every draft, I felt like I can get them in that range this year. Who are those guys for you? Cause once you said Sutton,
who were they?
Yeah. After last year, it was Cooper Kupp and Deontay Johnson in that range. And they kept falling into that 4 to 6 range. But for this year, cause you mentioned Courtland Sutton, and I agree with you. All the guys you mentioned, I really liked. And then once that, it's really like if Courtland Sutton goes and I'm in that range, and you're right, it's not back end three, it's back end four. Then it's like, I like the guys you mentioned after that, but all of them I see some red flags with, and I don't. Sure. I think there's a teardrop for sure after Sutton to those guys.
Yeah, but I saw red flags with Cooper Kupp last year. You know, I saw.
Yeah,
you could say I saw red flags with Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I mean you're right. If they're going right? 40 picks in, they got to have some red flags.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, my three players that I find myself drafting a lot: Cortland Sutton, Trey Lance, Kadarius Toney. Lance, we talked about on the quarterback preview ad nauseum. He's a guy that you can take earlier than his ADP and back it up with a safer quarterback like Rodgers, Cousins, Carr. You know, go away from ADP. Although, let's see where Trey Lance is going in the last couple of days. He's going 11th ahead of Stafford. Yeah, so you take him 11th, and then two rounds later, you grab Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers. You can do that. They're going 14th and 15th in 50. It's only 15 drafts over the last few days on NFC, but... Lance and Sutton, we just talked about, and Toney, are you in on that too?
Yeah, I love all three of your guys there. I'm going to be honest. Toney, Sutton, two of my favorite guys to draft, especially Toney, but Toney is seeing a little bit of an ADP rise. So I feel like the other two, Lance and Sutton, don't have too much more to rise, because it's, you really got to get bullish if you want to rank Lance any higher than some of the guys ahead of him. Yeah. And Sutton, like you said, has already risen a bit, but Tony's going to rise because he's having an excellent camp.
Yeah, I'm looking at, again, I went back to ADP since July 20th, so that's 113 drafts. Kadarius Toney's wide receiver 41. I'll tell you, the guy right behind him is Alan Lazard. Who would you rather have, Lazard or Toney?
The answer used to be Lazard for me. I've done a little more digging because I did have a ton of early exposure to Lazard. I've cooled off a good bit on Lazard. I kind of went into it thinking there's these vacated targets from Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers named Lazard as his wide receiver one. We know Rodgers is that type of quarterback that likes to lean on the guys he trusts, but I just don't know that he has the skill set to really command that kind of target share. And I feel like there's guys who are stepping up in camp already, like Romeo Dobbs. I don't know.
Dubs.
Is it Dobbs or Dobbs? Dobbs. Yeah, I always pronounce that one wrong. And so I just feel like it's going to be a bit more spread out than I was originally expecting.
Okay, well, the five guys ahead of Kadarius Toney and Alan Lazard are Michael Thomas. There's no way I'm taking them over him. But the other guys, I might. Devontae Smith, Drake, not at this point, but I could see. Well, Lazard, actually, I like Lazard. I'd take him right after Michael Thomas. Then it's Devontae Smith, Drake London, Russell Gage, Christian Kirk, Kadarius Toney. So we'll see. I don't know that he's going to get any higher than wide receiver 36, which is Michael Thomas.
It depends on this camp, man, because if he's getting all those guys you mentioned, right, with the exception of Michael Thomas, who of them is commanding the potential target share that Tony's going to get in that offense? Unless you think it is going to be spread around a bit with Galladay and
yeah, maybe. I do with Barkley. Okay. And I don't love to play this card, but I don't know how many wide receivers are more injury prone than Toney.
That's fair.
Not just in the NFL, right? I mean, all throughout college too.
That was what I got when I asked my Florida friends about him when the Giants drafted him. They said he's great, but we haven't seen him much.
Right.
And so,
all right, those are some players that we like here on August 5th. So we've got a lot of great content on the website, and let's talk about the draftathon. So we're going to do our fifth annual draftathon to benefit St. Jude, and we need you to be a part of it. Usually I say we want you. We need you. We want to raise as much money as we can for St. Jude. Who would not want to contribute to that cause? So please be a part of it. And Dan will give you more details right now.
Yeah, it's my first year really diving into this thing and becoming a bigger part of it. And it's been really awesome to work with the St. Jude's Children's Hospital, the people we're working with. We're planning a really cool event. It's the draftathon. Most likely, I don't want to give the date just yet because it hasn't been fully finalized, but it's probably going to be that last Wednesday of August.
It hasn't been finalized? I sent that an email to like 30 people.
It's almost definitely August 31st.
Okay.
Let's settle down a little bit here, but almost definitely August 31st from 6 to 12 p.m. We're going to have an unbelievable show that's going to have guests from the fantasy community, basically the best of the best from the fantasy community. I mean, we even get guys that I love, like the deep, deep dives, the Rich Rebars of the world, the people that I think are my favorite guys.
He's probably my favorite guest. So,
yeah, I mean, Rich has
he's mainstream now.
Is he mainstream now? I guess Rich is considered mainstream.
No, I was just saying, since I like him, he must be mainstream.
He must be mainstream now. But we're going to get unbelievable guests from the fantasy community. We're going to get some athletes again, most likely, which will be cool. Maybe a celebrity appearance here or there. Maybe you get something cool and fun from the CBS side in that. So we're going to tease it all out. I'm not going to give away too much, but it's awesome. You join us. It's from 6 to 12 p.m. It's 6 to midnight and it's just constant nonstop fantasy talk, fantasy advice, but also fantasy hangout. Like you come, you hang out. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's more of like a PG-13 version, at least as far as we go on Fantasy Football Today. So you have fun. So you have fun with it. You join us. And more importantly, if you can, whatever you can donate, please donate to St. Jude's. We're actually hoping to get up soon, starting next week, onto our streams, a button where you can just click it and donate to St. Jude's. And we're going to have some fun events around this too that you can hopefully join as well. We'll be giving out listener league entries. We'll be giving out things of that nature. So there will be an eBay page. That's where most of our drive is. So we're going to start promoting and advertising that once that goes live on Monday, this coming Monday. And so if you want to donate, you can donate straight through the button, but also you can join the eBay page where we'll be having auctions of fun things, championship belts for your leagues. You can get Adam Azer to announce your first round, fun little things like that. Join our listener league. So be on the lookout for all of this. We're really excited about it. And to me, it's one of the best things we do every year.
Okay. So seeing a comment here in the chat, apparently it is Romeo Doubs. And he had to correct it because all throughout his college career, his coach called him Dubs. But, and even the pronunciation guide apparently said Dubs.
Yes. I knew I was going to get it wrong.
But it's Dobbs.
All right.
Not Dobbs.
This is like a Tunyon situation all over again.
Totally. Those Packers and their pronunciations. News and notes. Chris Godwin was wearing a brace at practice. So he's back at practice, but don't get too excited yet. They're being cautious with him. And meanwhile, Mike Evans left Friday's practice with a hamstring injury. So no idea the severity. That happened just a couple of hours ago as we record this. Roger Goodell appointed former New Jersey Attorney General Peter Harvey to hear the appeal in the Deshaun Watson case, and we hope to have some closure on that soon. Matthew Stafford's elbow pain is a little abnormal for a quarterback, according to Sean McVay. So it's what's your read on this?
I don't have a good read on this, but it's so important because so much of our fantasy success is tied to this guy. I mean, you're seeing Cam Akers drafted high, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, we talked about earlier. I'm hoping it's nothing. I was worried about Stafford going into last year because of the back issues that he had with Detroit, and he played through everything, made it through the full year. I lean more toward being bullish than bearish. I think he's going to play through this thing.
Marlon Mack says he is back to his pre-Achilles tear form, and he could just be a headache in that Houston backfield. This is what ESPN's Josh Weinfuss said about Rondale Moore. And I just recorded ended up being about 9-minute profile about Rondale Moore with Jacob Gibbs. And the biggest thing was his ADOT was so historically low, basically. It was 1.4 yards. That was his average depth of target. So he was just not used downfield. But this is what ESPN's Cardinals beat writer said. Rondale Moore's speed will be a major component of the Cardinals' scheme in 2022 in all areas, from behind the line of scrimmage to downfield. So if he can get downfield a little bit more, he's got some potential to be a nice sleeper. Peter King says Robert Woods looks like he's back to his normal self. Brandon Ayuk has had a good camp. Romeo Doubs has had a good camp. Donald Parham of the Chargers, tight end, he's having a good camp. Kansas City rookie Isaiah Pacheco is having a good camp. Bills rookie James Cook is having a good camp. They just talked about him, you know, turning some heads in the run game. Meanwhile, Isaiah McKenzie for the Bills, he is right now the starting slot receiver. He's running ahead of Jamison Crowder, who has missed some time. So these are names to know as good late-round picks. I mean, Brandon Ayuk was very good the last, say, half of the season. Had better receiving numbers than Deebo Samuel. Doesn't mean that'll happen again, but Deebo obviously had the rushing totals, but Ayuk is a name to know. Also, you should keep in mind, Ayuk did a lot of this without Deebo on the field, training camp. Doubs, Parham, Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas City. I mean, you're not going to draft him, but could be a headache in that backfield. They have a fairly deep backfield, I guess.
I think what's interesting about the Pacheco situation, just to cut in real quick, Adam, is they've been using him, and he's had some of his best highlights in the passing game. And so if that's because you know they re-signed Jerick McKinnon, they don't really fully trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be on every passing down. But look, if he shows out in the passing game and Andy Reid sees something that he can use, he's looking for mismatches at all times. He could potentially get some work this year. We'll see. We've seen weirder things. Derek Gore had a little stretch last year. So,
right. Yeah. Javonte Williams, there's been some, I don't want to say controversy, but disagreements about the type of split he's getting.
Right.
As the number one back. Is it 70-30? Is it 55-45? What? You follow the beat writers pretty closely. What is it with Javonte Williams?
there's no consensus right now. I think I'm going to lean on Ben Albright because he's had really good scoops on the Broncos. He's been really checked in, and he thinks it's going to be pretty similar to what it was last year, which is close to a 50-50 split. I'll say somewhere in between that and 70-30. I'm going to go with 60-40 as my final because I do think they're going to give him more chances, right? It's like he's a budding star there. They don't want to keep him off the field, Javonte Williams, that is. But it goes back to what we said in the Scared to Draft episode a few months or a month and a half ago. This guy is going in the early to mid second round, and you can't even guarantee workload there. Everyone else you're drafting there is either a target hog as a receiver or a workload hog as a running back. So it's just, it's very scary for me with Javonte Williams. I'm scared to be wrong because the talent is there.
Right, right. If he gets 60%, if the workload is the same as last year and he gets 60% instead of 50%, then you'll see him have enough work to be a great running back if things break right. You know, like James Conner, for example, he didn't have a ton of work, but he scored a lot of touchdowns. So if he can get 60% based on the workload last year, yeah, go ahead.
The Connor example always to me, because part of the Connor thing was he did have that stretch without Edmonds where he really became the RB1. Yeah. And I remember us talking about him before that, like as this kind of touchdown dependent guy. And a lot of fantasy analysts were like, fade him because the touchdowns will regress. But that wasn't the case, because if you look at the rates, almost nobody in the NFL, and this was surprising to me, ran the ball at a higher rate in the red zone than the Cardinals. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case with the Broncos now that they have Russell Wilson.
What concerns me is I don't know who the passing downs back is, and I don't know who the goal line back is. It's not just, well, here's a split, but we know where the high value touches are. Mm-hmm. We don't know that. It could just be like last year where it was almost 50-50. The carries were exactly even. Javonte did, I have hope because Javonte did have more catches and more targets than Gordon. I think he's going to be a better pass blocker. So I think he's the best bet for the third down work, but I don't know about the goal line. All right, finish up with some more news here. And we've got, don't get too excited about Albert O, because he and Greg Dulcich are competing there, and they're both going to have to fill Tim Patrick's role, especially in the red zone, according to Coach Nathaniel Hackett. A couple of rookie wide receivers for the Titans to keep an eye on. Terry McCormick, he's been getting first-team slot reps. And Dan, you like Kyle Phillips.
Yeah, Kyle Phillips, my boy. Out of UCLA, I watched the tape on Phillips, and if you're going to look for a player who is as close to Cooper Kupp as it gets, but also at the same time being a very poor man's Cooper Kupp. So let's back that up. He doesn't have Cooper Kupp's total power, which is a big part of what makes Cooper Kupp's game go. And he doesn't have the vertical element that Kupp has. But that ability to win in a phone booth, that ability to win on those two-way routes in the slot, Kyle Phillips was up there with anyone in this draft class for me. And he was a total sleeper, was never going to get drafted because he didn't have the deep speed. But now he's showing out in Titans camp, and I think he can be a real, I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes a big receptions racker this year.
Okay, that is Kyle Phillips for the Titans. And Colts rookie wide receiver Alec Pierce has been working with the starter since day one, according to The Athletic. And question for you, Dan Schneier. You said win in a phone booth. How old are you?
I just turned 33.
Have you ever been in a phone booth?
The phone booths were definitely a thing when I was like really young.
Yeah. Phone booths were fun. It felt when you were
they
a little
were never
kid.
Fun.
Then you're a little kid, weird. You're in a phone booth, you feel like you're, I don't know, some secret mission in a spaceship or something like that. You could let your imagination run wild. Anyway, when we come back, the fantasy cops are stopping by to settle your league disputes. Then we'll read your emails, your Apple Podcast questions, your YouTube comments. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
There we go. There's the music. That sweet sound of the Fantasy Cops. Figuring out your league disputes. We've got your back. Let's do this. All right. Apparently, I am always the good cop. Let's test that theory. This is from Seth. This past Sunday, I did a public 14-team full PPR super flex draft, 13 rounds, offensive players only, with a lineup of one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, and three super flex spots. I took Herbert and Hurts with my first two picks, Cousins in the sixth at pick 83 overall, and then that sparked the commissioner to put me and another team on blast who at that point had four quarterbacks rostered for being QB hogs. When we defended in the draft chat is because the flex spots being super flex, so we could start up to four quarterbacks. This set the rest of the draft in a tailspin, as when the draft wrapped up, exactly half the league, seven teams, had one quarterback and didn't think about the super flex aspect of it. All right, now here's the thing, right? So I'll pause. Got three super flex spots. He drafted accordingly. One other manager drafted accordingly. Seven teams drafted one quarterback. Now here's what happened. The commissioner said that he tried to cap the limit to two quarterbacks before the draft, but it wouldn't let him do it. So he set up the league. He thought it was going to be just a regular super flex league. Instead, he created three super flex spots. 30 minutes after the draft finished, the commissioner posted in the league that he meant to put the flexes as one super flex and two standard, and set the limit of quarterbacks roster to two per team. He said that I and the other team that has five quarterbacks need to drop down to two QBs in 2 weeks, or he will go into our rosters and drop the quarterbacks that went after our first two drafted. He put the stipulation that we cannot trade these away for anything, but rather we have to drop them into the free agent pool to give the other seven teams a chance at a better choice of a backup quarterback.
My God.
What is the right course of action here? Would you let our two teams make trades to get down to two? Would you schedule a redraft? Would you tell the seven teams with just one quarterback to run to the waiver wire right away?
Oh my God, there's so much to unpack here. Let me start by saying this was originally, he called this a public league. This is the most intense public league I've ever heard of in my life. Like, this is a public league. You got a chat going, you got a commissioner going nuts. Let me say this. The only thing that would be even remotely fair in this scenario would be to redraft with the rules that he never told you before the draft, but then told you after the draft. Yeah. This idea that you can just cut these players you took in like round 4, 5, 6 is absurd. But also, let me just say this, Adam. No one drafted accordingly. Kirk Cousins was available in round 6. Literally, my first 5 picks would have been quarterbacks. Round 1, round 2, round 3, round 4, round 5. You could start 4 every week, yeah. And I want a backup, too. I might have go round 6, too. If there's started quarterback, I would be taking him.
And how about the fact that even in a super flex league, even if they thought it was just one super flex, 7 teams only drafted one quarterback? Are you kidding me? That's absurd. You got to redraft. You got to redraft.
Total redraft.
All right. Well, anyway, let's go to Cam from Winnipeg. Dear Harvey, Mike, Lewis, and Trevor. Harvey, Mike, Lewis, and Trevor.
Harvey, Mike, Lewis, and Trevor. Why do I never get these right?
This is hard. I don't know what this is.
Harvey Dent?
Suits. People keep referencing this show Suits. What is this Suits?
Oh my God. I've watched one episode of Suits. To me, I don't want to be, you know what? Our listeners like Suits. Enjoy that show. That's all right. I'll say.
Okay. This email comes baked like lasagna, as there are layers to the situation. Ooh. I am a fantasy football fanatic. I'm going to be the commissioner for a dynasty startup as well as a redraft league. I am trying to encourage my girlfriend to play for the first time. She doesn't really know football, but I told her I would help her draft. Fantasy Cops questions. What are your thoughts on me paying her entry fee? How do you think it will come across if I help her draft? Do you think trading between our two teams could be a red flag? Let's go one by one. Thoughts on him paying her entry fee?
Totally fine by me with that. Who would have an issue with that?
Not me. How do you think it will come across if I help her draft?
This is the interesting one. So you're also in the league. This is why this one's a problem. So one of the only things I'll ever veto a trade over is potential collusion. That's basically the only thing. And so this would be hard. You know, you could make a case that there's some collusion involved, right? She's on the clock.
You can't draft. You cannot help her draft.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Let's not overthink it. You cannot help another team draft. No way.
That's in the league. Yeah.
Do you think trading between our two teams could be a red flag? I think a little bit of a red flag, Cam. So pay her entry fee, but she's got to get her own advice. I know a podcast she can listen to. All right, next up, Eric from the Second City. which is Chicago, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Hey, Mike, Greg, Zach, and Cole. Mike, Greg, Zach, and Cole.
The Yankees pitchers? No.
I wish. They don't have Jordan anymore. Worst trade ever. I don't know who that is. All right, this is a Fantasy Cops dispute from 2010. Ready? This happened in 2010. I'd like to get your perspective on this. 10-team, 5-keeper PPR league. A trade was made between Jimbo and Ronald. They swapped multiple picks a month before the draft. This included swapping their first-round picks with the verbal agreement between the two that Ronald would not draft Jermichael Finley with the newly acquired pick, since Ronald would now draft ahead of Jimbo. All right, so they swap first-round picks. Jimbo says, you can go ahead of me, but you can't draft Jermichael Finley. And Ronald agrees. Ronald then approaches me with a deal, asking to swap our first-round picks with an added sweetener. My pick is also ahead of Jimbo's. So let's say Ronald ended up, after the trade with Jimbo, he ended up with the first pick, and Jimbo had the fifth pick. And then our emailer here, Eric, let's say he had the third pick. They agree to swap. So Ronald is still ahead of Jimbo. And remember, he made that agreement not to draft Jermichael Finley with Jimbo's pick. I accepted this, but Ronald disclosed his reasoning. He was trying to get around the verbal agreement that he would not draft Jermichael Finley with Jimbo's first round pick. So he did it instead with Eric's first round pick. Jimbo threatens to quit the league if Finley is drafted by Ronald, stated that he is beholden to the verbal part of the deal, since the traded pick was used to acquire a different first rounder, blah, blah, blah. Luckily, Ronald bowed down to the league pressure. I guess he didn't draft Finley, and he drafted someone else. Finley went on to only play 4 games that season, so it was all kind of a moot point. What would your ruling as commissioner be? Are verbal stipulations okay as long as the commission is informed?
So we have had this situation occur in our home league, actually. Wow, before.
Really?
Something not exactly that, but the idea was there was a verbal agreement that somebody tried to go back on. And so we made a ruling that everything has to be in paper. There are no verbal agreements. If you have a verbal agreement that you make with somebody else and somebody goes back on it, that's just life. And you just have to deal with that. But we said, if you write it in the email, in addition to the trade, as in a stipulation, like we agree verbally to this, then you're beholden to it. So I think you got to get it in writing.
I think that's so funny, though, to make a second trade for a different pick ahead of Ronald's or Jimbo's or whatever.
I almost respect the hustle there, really, yeah, to be honest.
It's great. It's great. All right, let's see. One more here. Let's go. All right, this is from Anthony in Tacoma. Myself and the commissioner of a keeper league I'm in, we listen to your podcast, so I hope this airs. All right, here we go. 12-team keeper PPR league. We each keep 2 players every year for up to 3 years, 1 round in advance of where we drafted them. We just selected our keepers, and we were informed that preseason trades for players and picks would be allowed in the coming draft. I negotiated with last year's champion, and we settled on my receiving Austin Eckler as a 4th-round keeper this year, but no value after this year. He gets Dobbins as a 12th-rounder this year and my 9th-round pick. So this guy is getting, this is Anthony, he's getting Eckler in the 4th round. He's giving up J.K. Dobbins and a 9th-round pick, and Dobbins has a 12th-round value.
Okay.
For the first time in the history of the league, the commissioners elected to veto this trade under the idea that it was too lopsided. And the commissioner believes, based on their conversation, that the champion, the one who gave up Eckler for Dobbins in a 9th round, the champion is simply electing to make his team worse to up the challenge rating this year. I feel a bit bothered by this outcome, and I'm willing to hear y'all's opinion, maybe to help smooth things over for me. Is this a totally lopsided trade, needed to be vetoed, or is this an abuse of commissioner power?
Oh, this is a total abuse of a commissioner power. Let me start by saying that. Now, first of all, what is a challenge rating? Are you aware of this, Adam? Is that something on the site?
Absolutely not. I think he's just a very first of all, I don't think that he's doing anything wrong here, but I was going to say he's a very cocky commissioner who thinks that he can win with the worst team, but the trade is fine.
Right. I was going to say, let me say this. You're getting Dobbins at a 12th round value plus a 9th round pick.
Yeah.
Like, that's not bad at all.
And you can only keep Eckler for this year.
Right.
I don't know how the other.
Yeah. This is not bad at all. Oh. So this is nowhere near vetoable. But also the idea that the champion is trying to make his job harder, that I don't buy into either.
Look at us agreeing on everything.
I know.
How about that? It's not good. What's wrong with that?
There needs to be a little dissension here between us, Adam.
All right, we'll get there. We'll get there. This is from Eric from a large island in British Columbia.
Is that your most quoted movie thing? You always do the Eric.
Yeah, I think it's probably.
Does anyone on here know what the Eric is besides Adam? I've learned it because of
Adam. I'm sure we have 196 people watching right now. What is Eric from? Oh, look at this one from Castor Troy. I know what Castor Troy is from. Ew, two Giants fans? I can't. I don't blame you. I can't either. You know who Castor Troy is?
He's from one of those movies with it's Nicolas Cage, right?
Uh-huh.
Is it the Face Off one?
We just call it Face Off. But yes, it is from that one. I'm losing my voice, by the way, so I hope I can make it through the rest of the show. All right. This question is from Eric. It says, keeper question, 12-team league, start two flexes, half PPR, 4 point for passing touchdown. Should I keep Justin Herbert or Javonte Williams?
There's no rounds attached to either?
No.
And they said no super flex, right?
Correct.
Javonte Williams.
All right, this is from Dr. Will. I'm a contending team in a 12-team dynasty league. I got what I believe is a nice offer for T. Higgins, my number one wide receiver. But should I take it or ask for more? I was offered Sutton and a mid-23 first and a mid-23 second for Higgins and a late 23 third.
Whoa. Yeah, you should take that. Yeah, oh, my God. You get a first out of it, too? And a second? I love this trade in dynasty for you.
By the way,
I don't even know that necessarily that Higgins is. I like Higgins over Sutton, but man, Sutton's not a bad play either there.
It's possible this was written before the Tim Patrick injury. Kevin said Billy Madison. Yes, that's where Eric is from. You're giving the company to Eric? This is from Jalen Hurts fan. I did my draft last night. How do you think I did? 2QB league. I had the 8th pick. I have Jalen Hurts and. Wait, it's a 2QB league? He has Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. You took Hurts before Jackson? I'm confused.
Because
he said bench Lamar Jackson. But
that's
all right.
2QB?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson. Najee Harris, Cam Akers.
What the?
Tyreek Hill, Michael Pittman. And then he has Irv Smith and Cortland Sutton. This team is... like incredible.
Yeah,
are you kidding
it's like
me?
Too loaded. That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it's a 10-team league. I don't know.
This might have been the one he was drafting with his girlfriend, and he got his girlfriend to just throw the picks.
This is from Scott Matthew. 12-team half PPR keeper league. AJ Brown in the 6th or Cam Akers in the 10th?
Oh, my God. I am going to go AJ Brown in the 6th. I've just soured so much on Akers.
Okay. From Jared. 10-team standard scoring league, start 3 receivers, no flex. What kind of draft strategy would you lean on here? I listened to the recent format podcast, and you said 2 wide receiver versus 3 wide receiver changes your strategy more than PPR versus non. How do you balance that? Yeah, this is a good question. I've never played in a non-PPR 3 receiver league without a flex, because that flex, you're going to want it to be a running back, but you don't have a flex. So this is interesting. How would you approach this draft?
To me, Adam, I still think you need to be more running back heavy than normal here, because I know you have 3 receivers to fill here, but it's only 10 teams. So that means, you know, that goes through wide receiver, almost just a little past wide receiver 2 range. So for me, I'm still leaning into the strategy we had for our standard league podcast segment.
I think I'm going to probably just not. I'm going to really focus on running back and wide receiver.
Okay.
And not quarterback and tight end early. I think, you know, look, everything changes. If Travis Kelce falls to the end of round 2 or something like that, that'd be one thing. But I think my first 5 picks are going to be running backs and receivers and just get the foundation of your team there. But again, I've never done it. So we'll see. This is from Anthony. I have Justin Jefferson and Michael Pittman for $5 and $1 respectively. $210 cap. I can keep 3 of them. Which of the following would be your third? Deontay Johnson for 5. He already has 2 receivers, Jefferson and Pittman. Deontay Johnson for 5, Akers for 4, or Bateman for 2.
Oh my God. this build makes me want to go away from who I would normally say, which would probably be, for me, Bateman for two, because I love Rashad Bateman. But this build makes me want to say Cam Akers. Are you similar with that, Adam? Because he's so strong already at receiver. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if Deontay Johnson or Rashad Bateman were A.J. Brown or something, if they were like a top 15 receiver, then sure. But I think get the running back. All right, this is from T on the East Coast, the mushroom capital of the East Coast.
What's that? The mushroom capital of the East Coast? What kind of mushrooms are we talking
about? Yeah, also, great question. Definitely need some clarity there. Let's see, I'll just Google
the Aaron Rodgers kind there.
Kennett Square in a borough in Chester County, Pennsylvania, is the mushroom capital of the world.
I would have never guessed that.
Superflex League, we get one keeper. Akers for a fifth, Javonte for a tenth. Oh, just come on, Javonte.
Oh, whoa, Javonte for a tenth.
Wait, there's two more. There's two more.
Okay.
Adams for a second.
Nope.
Dobbins for a fifth.
No. Javonte Williams for a tenth. Bang.
Bang.
It's a huge keeper.
Time for your emails. Hey, Jose, Alec, Kevin, and Yusei.
No clue.
Oh, come on, man. I think those are Blue Jays pitchers.
Like Kevin Gossman.
Yep. Alec Manoa. That's my team name. Sorry. Alec Manoa.
Great team name. He's so proud of that, as he should be, to be completely honest.
Thank you. Thank you. Jose Barrios and Yusei Kikuchi, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You say goodbye. I discovered your show a few years ago. I've become a huge fan. Thank you. I'm in a new 12-team league this year. Five-man keeper league going forward. I've got the second overall pick, and I'm wondering if I'm overthinking about concerns about age and injuries for Eckler and McCaffrey. Am I crazy to ignore the upside and take a younger and hopefully more durable player like Najee Harris?
To me, the way I draft Adam, the answer would be yes. I would never take Najee Harris over those players. And you could even look at a player like Harris and wonder if there's concern there, right? Because he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger anymore. And Roethlisberger was way past his prime, but Roethlisberger was checking down at an insane rate to the running back. So I think some of the volume there is going to go a little away from Najee Harris. So there are concerns even with a player like Harris. I do understand that, look, he hasn't had an injury at any point in his career yet, and a major injury, Najee Harris, but he's still so young, right? It's only year two in the NFL. Give it a little time there. I mean, he's basically the only back in this entire class with a clean bill of health, but I don't lean too much on that. No, I think it's pretty random.
So who would you take second overall?
If Jonathan Taylor was first overall?
Yep.
Is that the...
Mm-hmm.
Is this is half PPR or PPR or no? Was it not specified?
Don't know.
Well, assuming it's half or full, it would be Christian McCaffrey for me.
Najee Harris, by the way, is not that young. I mean, he's 24. He's younger than...
Yeah, he was an old rookie. You're right.
Eckler would be the first player to finish top five at running back at eight. What is he, 27 or is he 28? He is 27. He would be the first player to finish top five at running back at age 27 or older since LeSean McCoy 6 years ago.
Wow.
But he is he's got 607 career carries. You know, he's still very much in his prime. I think rules are meant to be broken. This is not a guy who's wearing down. Right? Do you see it that way? With Eckler?
I'm a little scared of Eckler this year for a couple of reasons. He actually has been pretty injured throughout his career. Last year was on the luckier side as far as that goes, but more so I'm injured because of the touchdown regression. I mean, if you look at his entire career as a touchdown producer versus last year just looks like sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, he's not, and I get it. The offense is a lot better. Wait, now.
Well, but he had the role. I mean, that's the difference.
Yeah.
And he had the role. Let me tell you about 2019. Yes. The first four games of 2019 for Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon was suspended.
Okay.
And he averaged 14 carries per game and six catches per game. And he scored three rushing touchdowns. And I believe two of them were like 1 or 2 yard touchdowns, if I recall, in four games. So that year, without Melvin Gordon, he was on pace for, wow, he's on pace for like 2,100 yards or something. 102 catches and 26 touchdowns just in those four games without Melvin Gordon. But it's basically just he had the goal line role then and he had the goal line role in 2021. I'm a little worried that someone else could have that role, but not that worried. Anyway, Austin from Canada's, the home of Canada's Oktoberfest. No clue.
Sounds fun. I just don't know what it is.
10-team, 2 QB league with 2 flex spots. I have the 9th pick. My league drafts quarterbacks heavy and early. With that in mind, how would you suggest I go about my first 2 picks, knowing that the top 3 quarterbacks will definitely get picked ahead of me and possibly the likes of Jalen Hurts? Would it be in my best interest to pivot by taking 2 of the top running backs or top wide receiver? This is a 2 QB league. It is 10 teams. What do you do picking 9th here?
Yeah, so for me, I've been asked this question a lot in Superflex or 2 QB leagues. In 2 QB leagues, it actually goes even further in this direction for me. You just can't afford to skip on QBs. I know it seems like there's some interesting strategy you can do. Loading up at running back or receiver, you're going to have such an advantage there. But QBs are literal gold in these leagues. They are a finite resource. Every other resource, there's more of. Elijah Mitchell can appear out of nowhere at running back, right? And that goes for all these other positions. That's not going to happen at quarterback. This is a finite resource. It runs out. Get them and get them fast.
I agree. However, you have a 10-team league. There's no way I'm not taking one quarterback with those first 2 picks. I don't know that you need to take 2. You could definitely get a Tom Brady or something in round 1, and then maybe a Kirk Cousins or a Derek Carr in round 3 in a 10-team league, because that's 28th overall.
Yeah, you could, because we in our league, for example, especially, but this is the difference. Like, remember in our Superflex. Yeah, but in our Scott Fishbowl, by the time it got back to me and we had the 3rd round reversal, so we were picking in the early part of the 3rd round. He's going to be picking in the late part of the 3rd round. By the time it got back to me, I ended up taking Trevor Lawrence. That's where I was at.
He's not really, he's picking in the middle of the 3rd round, because we're talking about 12-team leagues.
Right.
So this is only 29th overall. So you got Trevor Lawrence. I got Trey Lance 1 pick before you took Trevor Lawrence. So,
and I think there's a drop off after Lance between before that Lawrence range.
I agree. Yeah. And Lance goes higher than he did then, but.
Right.
Yeah, it's risky. Okay, we just did a 2 quarterback draft, a super flex draft on Tuesday night. I've already talked about this on the show. I'm sorry, but I had the 6th pick, I think. I took Jonathan Taylor, Travis Kelce, Matthew Stafford in round 3, and Trevor Lawrence in round 4. So I was pretty happy with that. I would say you have to get a little lucky, but it could happen.
And you have to know your league. If you drafted with these guys and girls before, you have to know if it's one of those leagues where everyone's just racing to get those quarterbacks or not.
Hey, remember that pick-by-pick series we did on Monday, Dan, and all the articles are published?
Yep.
Yeah, why is it that my articles are like the only ones that aren't on the website? The website for about 5 minutes, and then they must have been so bad that you pulled them.
That's not true at all. George was running Arena, so this is a complaint you have to direct to George.
I rarely get to write, and I guess I know why.
You did a pretty good job. I actually thought you did a good job, Adam. You didn't get it in Prism, so there was a little... you made me do a little extra work. I wasn't thrilled about that, but otherwise it was good.
All right, this is from Keenan. A couple of years... I think this subject was you're wrong about Russell Wilson. A couple of years ago, I wrote into your show about Tom Brady and his warm weather stats. Adam seemed intrigued by this, but the panel shrugged it off that Brady was not that fantasy relevant as a top QB in their eyes, and the weather was not a factor. 2 years and many touchdowns later, I have another weather fact that I think you are overlooking. You guys are fired up about Russell Wilson and his new surroundings, but his play in cold weather is very subpar. He does have the numbers to back it up. I don't know how he found this specific stat, but I'll take his word for it. And he says, after his week 9 bye, 6 of his last 9 games will be poor cold weather. I think that... a little presumptuous. I would be surprised if he had 6 bad weather games.
Well, what do we have the games in front of us?
Sure, but it just doesn't usually work out that way. But
okay,
but like 6 is a ton. I can't remember a quarterback having 6 bad weather games.
Yeah, if we're talking really bad weather, like windy, ripping wind. Yeah, go ahead.
But I guess I'll throw it to you. I mean, should we be concerned about this?
Russell Wilson has. This is a true thing. This is backed up by the film. It's backed up by everything. He's been a quarterback who struggles in bad weather, because Russell Wilson doesn't exactly win with arm talent. If you look at him throwing the outs, they call them the NFL throws, the passes outside the hash marks. the ball doesn't get there very fast. And Russell Wilson's been a quarterback his entire career who wins with anticipation. He is one of the best anticipatory throwers in the NFL. That's a little harder to do in the cold weather. So this is a bit concerning to me. I'm going to take a deeper look into these games after the pod, Adam, because I don't necessarily know that like some of these like Cardinals at Broncos, Chiefs at Broncos. Like
I'll tell you, I have the schedule.
Because look, the home games for Denver, they may quote unquote seem like bad weather based on maybe, I guess, the degrees and the cold, but that air in Mile High, that is conducive to a quarterback. That is conducive to throwing the football. So I think that has to balance into the equation too.
Yeah, his last five games are at Baltimore on December 4th. I don't know that that's going to be bad. Kansas.
That one's going to be bad, yes.
December 4th?
Yeah, it's Baltimore.
It's December 4th. It's not Christmas. There's a big difference. Kansas City at home, Arizona at home, at the Rams should be fine. At Kansas City on January 1st.
That'll be gross.
Championship. Yeah, that'll probably be pretty gross. Oh, look, it's a decent point.
These aren't that bad. It's a good point if there was a harder schedule, though. Like a lot of these are home games where, again, I think the air helps in Mile High. I don't really see anything like besides that Chiefs game. I don't really see, and maybe the Ravens. I don't know.
And this is from Tim. Hey, CJ, Fred, LaShawn, and Booby.
CJ,
I got it. This is...
How do you get these every time?
I Google them.
Oh, that's not fair.
Well, no, I mean, I tell you when I actually get them.
One you Googled, and what was the answer?
This Bills running backs.
I was going to say that, but I was like... Nah.
Booby
right,
Dixon.
I wasn't going to say that. I just lied. I wasn't going to say that. Go ahead.
All right. Tim from a city in Virginia with the same name as the place where they make Jack Daniels in Tennessee. Dive.
Hicksville? Isn't that like Hicksville or something?
No idea.
Okay.
When listening,
if that's right, someone let me know if that's right, please.
Okay. Yeah. When listening to your podcast, I keep hearing the guys say, I'd love to get him in round X, but he's never going to fall there. Or I'd love to have him on my team, but he never falls to me where I would draft him.
Mm-hmm.
Playing in an inexperienced league, how can I get the good players if people reach for them all? Don't I just end up with a bunch of safe unknown guys drafted at their ADP without big ceilings? Do I have to reach if everyone else is?
No, actually, these are my favorite types of drafts. When everyone's reaching, I feel like the draft board always falls away that really is conducive to me building out a high value roster. Because when people are reaching, that means guys are falling that should be going higher, right? That's the definition of people reaching. So I end up with a team that maybe I wasn't thinking I was going to get going in, but in the end, I'm like, wow, it's good value every single pick. So I think this ultimately works in your favor.
All right, I'm going to read some YouTube questions. If you want to fire them in, go for it. In our auction dynasty league, Christian McCaffrey is available. Would you pursue McCaffrey or Breece Hall in a dynasty league?
Auction dynasty league. I've never
salary cap. Sorry. Salary cap dynasty league.
Salary cap dynasty league. But I guess I don't really understand the concept of this league. Cause if it's dynasty, but is he available via trade?
Oh,
or
crap. I'm on the clock in my dynasty league. Oh no. I hope I didn't auto pick.
This is funny. This is in its own right very funny, but I don't really understand. I'll toss this to you, Jake from State Farm. I'll toss this to you, Adam, because if it's a dynasty league, there's usually no one available unless you're talking about available via trade.
So I have a dynasty league where we're actually doing a draft right now, and let's hope I didn't time out. Oh, crap. I timed
this is
out.
Great radio right
Damn
now.
Damn it.
Adam is such a timer outer. This happens so often for him. It's crazy.
I'm very busy.
And he's like, I don't get the emails.
No, I got the email. I just forgot. I had a busy day. I drafted Sterling Shepard.
Ugh.
So my dynasty league has contracts. So every few years, here were the first. We do a free agent draft. And this year is our last year, so we did not do a separate rookie draft. But these were the first. This was the first round of the free agent draft. Mixon, Connor, Michael Thomas, ooh, Juju, Breece Hall, Mike Williams, Devontae Parker, Bills DST, ridiculous scoring in this league. Hopkins, Kareem Hunt, Tony Pollard, Hunter Renfrow, Dak Prescott. So we have usually about a round of really good players because we have contracts and some guys just can't be kept any longer.
Right.
But who do you like better in Dynasty, McCaffrey or Breece Hall? That's really what the question is.
Yeah, that's a great question. I like Breece Hall better personally. Obviously, the age factor here, but I'm a big fan of Breece Hall's profile in general as a prospect.
From Albert, Lamar Jackson and Amari Cooper and a 23 first round pick or Dak Prescott and Diggs in a super flex league? So Jackson, Amari Cooper, and a 2023 first rounder, or Dak Prescott and Diggs?
That's a good question. I think I'm going to take the first rounder here with Lamar and Cooper. I mean, sounds great. Next year you go into your draft with a first round pick, an extra first.
From my opinion, he's giving us the finger in his avatar. That's not cool. Why would you take a quarterback so early? There are plenty of good quarterbacks later on.
I agree. I don't take quarterbacks early unless it's, we were talking a lot throughout this podcast. We've been talking a lot about two quarterback and super flex leagues. In those leagues, you have to take them because there's finite resources. And the one QBs, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's just a matter of if you're in round four and Justin Herbert happens to be there.
No, I don't take him.
No, I probably don't either.
But I do think my strategy has changed a bit because in past years, there hasn't been this nice grouping of like the Brady range, like the range with like Brady, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, that whole range in round 8 through 10. That I never used to have. So I would wait all the way until the end. Now I'm not waiting. I'm getting one of those because then I see the teardrop.
Andy wants to know, Sky Moore or James Cook in a PPR dynasty league?
It's a great question. These guys were drafted. I did four different dynasty drafts. They were drafted within one or two picks in every single one of them. Moore went ahead in all of them. I would still take Sky Moore over James Cook in a PPR league.
From Joe, out of these guys, who should I keep? Javonte Williams in the sixth, Justin Herbert in the seventh, Jalen Waddle in the ninth, or Jalen Hurts in the 13th.
So I have to assume this is one QB league because it wasn't specified otherwise. And so for me, it's Javonte Williams in the sixth.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Jalen Hurts in the 13th is tempting. But okay. I agree. Javonte. This is from Carlton. I have the 12th pick in PPR. I'm hoping Diggs and Lamb fall to me. Or should I do wide receiver and Kelsey if available?
Like them both. For me, it's wide receiver and Kelsey. I'm just a big believer in getting one of these tight ends, man. I mean, look, if you get past a certain range of tight end this year, it gets so gross. I was looking at our rankings, Adam, and I think after the Goddard, Hockenson, and Schultz range, right? Like once you get to those guys, I look at the next 10 guys ranked, Adam. I don't think that the guy ranked first is any better than the guy ranked 10th in that 1 through 10 of
not Zach Ertz.
Ertz is the only one I consider, now there's just, that's the only one.
I agree
one,
with you completely. I mean, like I know Gerald, we just did the tight end podcast earlier this morning, and you're always going to hear some Cole Kmet hype on our show, but mm-hmm. that could completely blow up right in our faces. But we're taking him so late, so, yeah, but there's no reason why a tight end that does not even get drafted is a free agent pickup could not be better than Cole Kmet, you know, like Dalton Schultz was last year.
100%.
So yeah, if Kelsey's available at 12, it's a no-brainer for me. Diggs also, Lamb, fine. I would probably take a guy like DeAndre Swift or Alvin Kamara over CeeDee Lamb. In fact, I would
not take Swift, and I would probably not take Kamara.
I mean, if you think wide receiver gets thin in round 3 and 4, you should look at running back.
Oh, I feel like it's the opposite, Adam. I feel like running back is, there's guys in the dead zone that I never would take in previous years. Ezekiel Elliott's going in round 4, for example.
No, he's not.
Yeah. He's been falling into a little bit of round 4. It's been late round 3, a little bit in round 4.
I mean, it depends what you look at. Because that's
as George Maselli's not in your draft, he's going.
Well, if you're looking at our drafts, that's different. But if you're looking at Fantasy Pros, Ezekiel Elliott's going 30th. And
I haven't seen any draft where he's gone that high yet.
And let's see, David Montgomery's 32. James Conner's 32.
Right. Where's that Bruce range Hall? Is better than it used to be. And then even if you go a little further, J.K. Dobbins in that next range. I mean, that used to never be able to get. Like last year we were taking Mike Date Peep. Not we. You were one of them, Adam. I was never one of them.
I am going to drive to New Jersey and hit you with a Jersey Mike sub. If you tell anyone one more time that I drafted Mike Davis, I did not like Mike Davis.
Did you not draft Mike Davis in our one? Okay.
And I was kind of on the fence about Mike Davis.
It was Miles Gaskin.
But it was Miles Gaskin. No, Miles Gaskin was the one that I was like, there's no way I'm drafting Miles Gaskin. I did not like either of those two guys. You have to stop assigning that to me.
I unfairly have put Adam in, and he is a bigger believer in the dead zone than most, but I guess he wasn't in on these two dead zone backs.
No,
but the point being, those were two of the guys you were getting in that same range last year, right? Don't you think these guys are way better than those guys?
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I think people learned a little bit of a lesson from guys like Gaskin and Davis. There has to be a little bit of provenness to these guys, or they have to be rookies. I really want to get some Breece Hall. I think he's going to have a good year. It might have to wait.
It's another guy in that range, right?
He's going in the 50s.
Oh, even further back.
And I like AJ Dillon a lot. I know you don't. I like him 60th, right around there.
I like him, just not as much PPR, but yeah, I do like him a little.
So, yeah, I mean, Dave had an interesting theory that it's going to be more of a balanced year at running back and wide receiver.
In what sense? What does he mean by that?
Like fewer, less separation between maybe wide receiver 12 and 20 or something, you know?
Oh, okay. Like,
I'll let him explain it. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he you know, there'll be some studs, but maybe not as many as in the past. And it'll be more of just like a giant tier. I could see that, actually.
I don't hate that. I could see that too. Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of the great running backs are aging out. You know, the guys that we've been relying on for so many years, getting older. And a lot of the great wide receivers, Adams and Hill in particular, they're in worse situations. And then you throw in the Julio Jones thing. Maybe that makes the Bucs guys a little bit less valuable. You've got the tight ends, Waller, Kittle, and Pitts. All of their situations got worse in the offseason. So I don't know what to make of it. I'm very excited for this season. I think it looks like it's going to be so much fun for fantasy. And thank you all so much for being on and watching and listening to our mailbag show. Hope you have a great weekend. I need some water, bro. I'm struggling. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you. You'll hear from us.
You'll hear from us.
Goodbye.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.